2025 is really throwing us some curveballs, huh? Every time I open the news, it's like, bam, another big environmental policy change. It's well, frankly, it's a lot to keep up with.
You can say that again.
But, you know, that's why we're here,
Right.
to help make sense of it all. We'll break it down, give you the real deal on what's going on. Let's dive right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So the big story, obviously, is President Trump's second term.
Yeah.
And wow, the impact on environmental policy has been immediate, like seriously immediate and honestly pretty huge.
Yeah, you're telling me we're barely a month in, and already it's just been a nonstop flurry of executive orders. And it's pretty clear what the goal is, right? They're shifting focus hard away from all those big climate change initiatives and environmental justice stuff that the last administration was pushing.
Yeah, I mean, even just in these first few weeks,
Yeah.
it's been a whirlwind, right? Halting communications at the EPA, pulling out of the Paris Agreement. Heck, they even took down climate change from the EPA website.
Right. It's been a lot. And I think the speed at which they're rolling these changes out is definitely raising some eyebrows. And yeah, not to mention opening up a whole can of worms when it comes to potential legal battles.
Definitely a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
So let's dig into that a bit. What are your thoughts on the long-term impacts of all this? I mean, what are we actually looking at here?
Well, I think the implications are pretty major, to be honest with you. Look at
Yeah.
the limitations on research funding, for example. It's not just about the money. It sends a pretty strong message about where this administration stands when it comes to scientific inquiry. It's just not valued the same way it has been. And well, that could have a chilling effect on progress across the board.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And then there's this whole 10-to-1 deregulation initiative. It sounds kind of catchy at first, but in practice, it means for every new regulation an agency wants, they got to get rid of 10 old ones. I mean,
Oh.
doesn't that just seem like setting ourselves up for trouble?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest risk is that industries will see this deregulation push and kind of jump the gun, you know, make changes before anything is really official. And that could lead to a whole mess of compliance issues down the road. We're already seeing the EPA asking for abeyances and environmental lawsuits left and right. It's definitely a shift in priorities.
It's been unsettling, for sure,
Yeah.
especially when you think about how all this could impact those green initiatives that were really starting to gain some traction. You know, the ones from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act. What happens to all that progress now with the funding freezes?
Well, those projects were all about addressing those big infrastructure needs, but doing it in a way that also promotes sustainability, right? This freeze throws a major wrench in all of that, could stall progress indefinitely and really discourage clean energy investment.
Okay, so we've got funding cuts, a shift away from environmental justice, and this big push for deregulation. And on top of all that, there's this move to speed up permitting for projects that are considered, you know, essential for national security or the economy. But didn't the U.S. Government Accountability Office express some concerns about transparency with all that?
Oh, yeah. They definitely raised some red flags. And it makes sense, right? Especially when you're talking about fast-tracking projects that could have big environmental impacts. There's a real worry that we're going to see economic interest being put ahead of environmental protection. And that's a tough situation to navigate. Just look at the decision to halt Clean Water Act, permitting for wind and solar projects while they're pushing fossil fuel projects through. That's a pretty clear example of the conflict we're facing.
It feels like we're taking one step forward and then like 10 steps back. And speaking of steps back, remember that letter Power Utilities sent to Administrator Zeldin? It's been all over the news. They're basically calling for a rollback of all those environmental regulations that the Biden administration put in place.
Yeah, that letter really says a lot about where the industry's priorities are under this new administration. They're seeing this as their chance to push for less regulation. But the big question is, what's the trade-off? Will economic growth come at the cost of environmental protection? That's what we need to be asking.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one that really jumped out at me was the decision to just hit pause on those chemical disaster
Yeah.
potentials. I mean, they're saying it's for reassessment, but it's making a lot of environmental advocates nervous. And for good reason, right? I mean, the potential risk to communities is huge.
It all comes back to this deregulation theme. We've talked about it a lot today, but it's important. It seems like this administration is laser focused on the economy. And the question is, at what cost? Are we willing to put economic growth ahead of protecting the environment, ahead of people's health and safety? It's a tough question, but we need to be asking it.
I couldn't agree more. And before we go any further, I want to remind everyone to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram as meteorologist, on TikTok as TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, just search for Rob Jones Hurricane. He's got great content over there. And you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. So yeah, be sure to check that out.
Definitely worth a follow.
All right, so we're talking about chemical disaster protections being put on hold, and it just feels like a risky move.
It's complicated, no doubt about it. I mean, we have to consider the economic side of things, but we can't just ignore the potential consequences for public health, you know? It's about finding that balance between economic growth and protecting the environment. That's the challenge.
It's a tightrope walk, for sure, and the stakes are high.
Absolutely. Finding that balance, it's going to take careful thought and honest conversations. That's what we need right now.
You're right. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Especially with the way things are politically.
It definitely is, but that doesn't make it any less important. We have to try to find that balance for the planet, for future generations.
I'm with you on that. Okay, so before we move on to some other big developments, let's just recap what we've covered so far. We've seen a pretty dramatic shift in environmental policies since President Trump came back, and that's led to a wave of legal challenges.
Yeah, and the possibility of widespread deregulation is a real concern right now. And with that comes a whole lot of worry about what it all means for protecting the environment.
It seems like the focus is on economic interests above all else. And that's raising some serious red flags for scientists and environmental advocates.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation, and it's definitely one worth watching closely.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back after the break to discuss some more of the specifics of all this. So stay tuned.
It really is a tangled web we're dealing with here. The choices being made, now they have the potential to really shake things up for environmental science as a whole. And, you know, not to mention its role in policy going forward.
It's the big question everyone's asking, right? What does the future hold? And there's another piece of this puzzle that I think has a lot of folks confused. All those dismissals at the EPA, specifically the folks working on environmental justice initiatives. What's the story there?
Well, it all goes back to that executive order we talked about earlier, the one that basically aimed to shut down all those DEI initiatives across the government. The wording of that order specifically called out those offices and positions that were focused on environmental justice. So, in essence, it really just dismantled a key part of the EPA.
So it's not just about, you know, shifting priorities or making budget cuts. They're actually closing down entire departments dedicated to environmental justice.
That's exactly what's happening. And, you know, that could be really devastating for communities that are already dealing with more than their fair share of pollution and environmental hazards. It's worth pointing out that even EJ Screen, that tool the EPA uses to identify those vulnerable communities, it's just gone, vanished from their website. It's almost like they're trying to erase those communities from the conversation.
It's hard to hear that and not feel like we're taking a giant step backward. Uh-huh. You know, like we're undoing decades of progress, and not just in environmental protection, but in social equity, too.
I understand that feeling. And the rollback of those chemical disaster protections is another perfect example. It's like they're hitting the pause button on all those regulations that were specifically designed to prevent those terrible accidents at chemical plants.
But haven't we learned from those past disasters? I mean, those regulations were put in place for a reason. To protect workers and communities from those chemical releases.
Exactly, right. But this administration seems to see those regulations as a burden on industry, you know, an obstacle to economic growth. They're pushing for a much more industry-friendly approach, which understandably raises concerns about potential conflicts of interest.
It's a tough balance to strike, no doubt about it. But when economic interests are consistently put ahead of public health and safety, it just feels like we're on a slippery slope.
I agree with you, and that's exactly why this whole reassessment of chemical disaster protections is so concerning. It's a clear sign that they're willing to prioritize industry profits over the well-being of communities.
It's definitely a disturbing trend, and it leaves us with so many unanswered questions. Like, what's next? What other environmental protections are they going to target?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's creating a lot of anxiety, not just among scientists and environmental advocates, but in communities all across the country.
Mm.
The truth is, the regulatory landscape is changing so quickly right now that the potential consequences are just massive.
It's like we're standing on shaky ground. There's so much uncertainty about what the future holds for environmental science and the policies that are supposed to be based on it.
We're definitely at a crossroads. The decisions made in the next few months, even the next few years, they're going to have a huge impact, not just on the health of the planet, but on the well-being of generations to come.
It's a critical moment in time, and it feels more important than ever to stay informed and stay engaged. We have to hold our leaders accountable. We have to demand that they prioritize science and data when they're making these decisions.
I wholeheartedly agree. We can't afford to be complacent. The stakes are just too high.
That's a great point. You know, earlier we were talking about how all of this is impacting the scientific community. We're seeing funding freezes, gag orders on communication, and just this general sense of unease among researchers. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. This chilling effect on scientific research, it's impossible to ignore. The funding cuts, the restrictions on communication, the fact that climate change is no longer being treated as a priority, it all sends a very clear message. Science is just not valued the way it once was.
It's almost like they're trying to silence the very people who are warning us about climate change and all these other environmental threats.
There's definitely a sense that this administration is more interested in pushing their own agenda than they are in supporting objective scientific inquiry. And that's incredibly damaging, not just to the scientific community, but to all of us.
Because we need science.
Yeah.
We need solid data to make good policy decisions.
Yeah.
Right? If we don't have reliable information and evidence-based analysis, it's like we're flying blind.
Exactly. Science is the foundation for good policymaking, especially when it comes to these complex issues like climate change and environmental protection. When you undermine science, you're undermining our ability to make smart decisions about the future.
It feels like we're on a dangerous path, and it's really disheartening to see science being sidelined like this.
It's a disservice, not only to the scientific community, but to the American people and to the planet. We need to reaffirm the value of science. We need to make sure it continues to play a central role in shaping environmental policy.
Well said. So before we dive into how these policy shifts are impacting different sectors, let's take a quick moment to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more insights on this ever-changing environmental landscape. And we're back. All right, so we've talked about the big picture, but now I think it's time to get a little more specific. You know, really zoom in on how these policy changes are playing out in different sectors.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so let's start with energy. This whole energy dominance thing that this administration keeps talking about, it seems like it's coming at the expense of renewable energy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's tough to argue with that. I mean, we already talked about how they're putting the brakes on Clean Water Act, permitting for those wind and solar projects while they're fast-tracking fossil fuel projects. It's a pretty clear sign of where their priorities lie, traditional energy sources over cleaner alternatives.
And it just seems like it goes against everything we're hearing about the need to shift away from fossil fuels if we're serious about tackling climate change. It feels like we're going in the wrong direction.
It's definitely a worrying trend. This idea of unleashing American energy, it might sound appealing to some, but it doesn't really address the urgency of moving towards a more sustainable energy future.
It feels very short-sighted, like we're missing this huge opportunity to invest in clean energy technologies, which, you know, could not only create jobs and help the economy, but also protect the environment. So win-win.
I completely agree. The longer we wait to make this transition, the harder and more expensive it's going to be. And we're already seeing those climate change impacts, you know, those extreme weather events, rising sea levels. Yeah. We can't just bury our heads in the sand.
Well said.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about another sector that's being hit hard by these policy changes. Public health.
Yeah, this whole rollback of chemical disaster protections, that's a major red flag when it comes to public health. Those regulations are there to prevent those catastrophic accidents that could release all kinds of harmful chemicals into the environment, you know, the air, the water, the soil, the kind of accidents that could put people's health at risk.
It's a frightening thought. I mean, we've seen what can happen when those accidents occur, and the consequences are devastating.
Absolutely. Think about the Bhopal disaster in India, or Chernobyl, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Those are just a few examples of what can happen when safety regulations are ignored or weakened. It can be a catastrophe for both people and the environment.
We can't afford to make those same mistakes. We need those strong regulations to make sure that industries are operating safely and responsibly. We can't sacrifice public health just for economic gain.
I couldn't agree more. We need to let the precautionary principle guide our decisions. It's always better to be safe than sorry, you know? Protect public health rather than gamble with people's lives.
It comes down to values, doesn't it?
Mm.
Are we going to put profits ahead of people? Short-term gains ahead of long-term sustainability? These are the questions we need to be asking as a society.
And the answers to those questions are going to shape the kind of future we create, not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. It's a sobering thought, but it should also be a call to action.
I like that, a call to action. We can't just sit back and watch while science gets pushed aside and environmental protections are rolled back. We have to speak up, get involved in the political process, demand better from our leaders.
We have to hold them accountable. Yeah. We have to make sure they're making decisions that are based on science. You know, decisions that are guided by ethical principles and that are truly focused on creating a just and sustainable future for everyone.
That's a great point. So I think that's a good place to wrap things up. It's been a tough conversation for sure, but it's an important one.
Yeah.
I hope everyone listening walks away feeling more informed and more empowered to get involved in these issues.
Me too. Knowledge is power. Understanding all this environmental science and policy stuff, that's the first step in making a difference. So I hope everyone listening will continue to stay informed, stay engaged, and never stop asking questions.
Absolutely. And before we go, we just want to remind everyone to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. He's a fantastic resource when it comes to weather and climate. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, just search for Rob Jones Hurricane and you'll find him. Oh, and don't forget to check out his Meteorology Matters podcast playlist while you're there.
Yeah, he's great. So thanks for listening, everyone. Mm-hmm. And until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and remember the future of our planet is in our hands. Let's work together to make it a good one.
That's a wrap on this episode of Meteorology Matters. See you next time.